Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. This morning we're going to read the next two verses, 2 and 3, from Canto 5, Chapter 1. As we're hearing the verses, please bear in mind these yesterday and this morning's verses are the lead-in, or like, you know, the summary of the topic of the whole canto. It's a big canto. So there's a lot inside, embedded in the verses. Listen carefully to what the question is, because the whole canto is responding to the question. And it's an important question. Okay, so. Nanu namukta sanghanam.
Nanu namukta sanghanam.
Kadrishanam dvajarshabah. Griheshva binivesoyam. Pungsam bhavitum arhati. Nanunam mukta sanghanam.
Nanunam mukta sanghanam.
Adrishanam dhrajarshabha. Kaheshva binivesoyam. Pungsam bhavitum arhati. Na, not. Nunam, certainly. Mukta sanghanam, who are free from attachment. Tadrishanam, such. Dvija rishabha, O greatest of the brahmanas. Graheshu, to family life. Abhinivesha, excessive attachment.
I am.
This.
Pungsam,
of persons. Bhavitum, to be. Arhati, is possible. Translation. Devotees are certainly liberated persons. Therefore, O best of the brahmanas, they cannot possibly be absorbed in family affairs. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu it is said that by executing devotional service to the Lord, one can understand the transcendental position of the living being and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be understood by any means except bhakti. The Lord confirms this in Srimad Bhagavatam 11:14-21. Bhaktyaham ekaya grayaha. Only by executing devotional service can one appreciate me. Similarly, in Bhagavad Gita 18:55, Lord Krishna says, Bhaktyamam abhijanati, simply by discharging devotional service one can understand me. Thus, for a bhakta to become attached to family affairs is impossible. Somehow we manage. Since a bhakta and his associates are liberated. Everyone is searching for ananda or bliss. But in the material world, there can never be any bliss. It is only possible in devotional service. Attachment for family affairs and devotional service are incompatible, therefore, Maharaj Parikshit was somewhat surprised to hear that Maharaj Priyavrata was simultaneously attached to devotional service and to family life. Text 3. Translation. Elevated Mahatmas who have taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are fully satisfied by the shade of those lotus feet. Their consciousness cannot possibly become attached to family affairs. Purport. Srila Narottama Das Thakur has sung Nittai Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Shushitala Ye Chayaya Jagat Jagdai. He describes the shade of lotus feet of Lord Nityananda as being so nice and cooling that all materialists who are always in the blazing fire of material activities may come under the shade of his lotus feet and be fully relieved and satiated. The distinction between family life and spiritual life can be experienced by any person who has undergone the tribulations of living with a family. Any questions? One who comes under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord never becomes attracted by the activities of family life, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Param drishtva navartante, navartate. One gives up lower engagements when he experiences a higher taste. Thus, one becomes detached from family life as soon as he comes under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. We have a sign-up sheet for the sannyas ashram at the door. The relationship, one way to describe the relationship between Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada has given us that the Bhagavad Gita is ABC, or undergraduate study, and the Bhagavatam is the graduate study. So 1 plus 1 is 2, and 2 plus 2 is 4 in undergraduate study, and also in graduate study. Just the ideas described in Bhagavad Gita are explored more deeply, comprehensively, thoroughly, from different angles and perspectives. But it's that the essential message is there in Bhagavad Gita. So we'll just take two of the essential messages from Bhagavad Gita that are in this chapter and then expand it in the canto. And that is, the transcendental nature of certain things within this world that's material, the spiritual nature of certain things that are within this world, and then how to extricate the second, how to extricate or relieve the soul that's involved by error, by illusion, implicated in matter and material activity, how to get out of material activity. So, the first one is obviously important. What's spiritual after all? And, by our process of descending knowledge, we understand certain things are spiritual. Personality of Godhead. The process of connecting with him, bhakti, the bhakta who is engaged in that connecting process to the personality of Godhead. And fourth one is the living entity, the Atma or Chitkana, the conscious living being. So the bhakti process has the potency, transcendental potency, to take us beyond the material circumstance, even within the material circumstance. Not just a better life in the next life, but in this life, transcendental consciousness, full realization of transcendence in this life, which is very different than a teaching of religion that says, be pious, and by piety, you'll prosper, and in the next life, you'll go to heaven. And, you know, lots of teachings in that vein. The Bhagavatam is a transcendental message. Essentially, the Bhagavad Gita's message is a transcendental message also. Abrahma bhuvanau loka purnar arvartan arjuna. Arjuna, don't aspire, don't hanker for a higher position in this life or after this life, even up to Brahmaloka, because therein repeated birth and death take place. Why is it that repeated birth and death take place? Because the spirit of enjoying separately from the Supreme Lord still continues. Because that's what brings us in to the material circumstance and what keeps us in the material circumstance. So how do you dissolve that expectation for happiness? Because it's of the soul. We're Sachit Ananda. It's by changing the design or the definition of what Ananda is, and it's through the medium of pleasing the personality of Godhead. I mean, these are not new messages, you know these messages. But the trick or the challenge or the art is to change horses in the middle of the stream. We're used to the other one. And now we're supposed to go to this one. And so we practice devotional service while we're holding on to the other one. And that makes the process very slow, to say the least. And therefore, you know, out of frustration, there are philosophies that say, well, you know, just have to give it up. Karma sannyas. That's what Arjuna wanted to do. Give up being a kshatriya. It's too messy. I'll just become a mendicant. I'll go live in a cave somewhere and be detached and chant om and, you know, be peaceful. Krishna said no. Get out on the battlefield and perform your prescribed duty and always think of me. And then, so that same principle can apply to this topic that's here, the topic of attachment to family life. Or family life, which generally means attachment to family life. You bring senses in contact with a sense object. What happens? You get attached. I mean, get a pair of shoes, or you know, a new dhoti or sari, and you get attached. There's so many obvious examples of this. In life of Ramanujacharya, without getting too far afield, to show the nature of attachment to the Supreme Lord that he was appreciating in this wonderful married couple that appeared to be ostentatious with their ornaments and their apparent lifestyle, and Ramanujacharya was showing affection to them like anything, and his associates were saying, people will criticize you for this. You know, they're just worldly attached people, and your affection for them is so obvious. Then Ramanuja wanted to show them why. So So he said, he gave them two exercises. Go into the sannyas ashram where they're all sleeping and take this man's dhoti and put his dhoti over there and that man's dhoti and put it over there and that man's dhoti and put it over there. And when they wake up, watch and see what happens. And they got into this whole, hey, someone took my dhoti. Rah, rah, rah. And okay, they reported that, and Ramanuja said, now go to this man's home, tell him I want to see him. When he's gone, go into the house and steal their ornaments and watch what happens. So the husband came and spoke words with Ramanuja while his associates were going, and so that the wife was asleep, and they stole her ornaments. She was lying on one side and they stole her earring. So she rolled over to the other side so they could steal the other earring. As she rolled over, they thought, oh, she's waking up, and they ran. And when the husband came home, she narrated what happened because she wasn't asleep. She just saw them stealing the ornaments. She thought, these poor fellows, they're so destitute that they don't have any means, so they came to steal these ornaments. So I wanted to give them from the other side. And her husband scolded, you chase them away. This is no good. She just kept giving it to them. And why did you do this? So then the observers were observing the exchange between husband and wife, and they came back, and now we get it. They're interested. One is interested in title and position and possessions, and the other is interested in service to the Vaishnavas. And service, seeing that as service to you, Ramanujacharya. So, detachment means attachment to Krishna. Very basic teaching. And detachment doesn't mean give things up. Detachment means attachment to Krishna. It's Rupa Goswami's teaching. There's two verses, classic, very important verses about what is renunciation. Renunciation in giving things up that belong to Hari. What's that? It belongs to Hari. Hari sambandha vastuna. Hari sambandha. Sambandha means relationship. Those things that are in relationship with Hari, giving them up, what's that? Palgu vairagya. False renunciation. And then there is correct renunciation. Correct renunciation is yukta vairagya. But yukta vairagya, where there's anasaktasya vishayan, without any attachment to sense gratification. Well, is it possible to take up household life without attachment to sense gratification? Generally not. One becomes attached, generally. Now, there can be exceptions, but exceptions are exceptions, and generally, one becomes attached. So that's what this topic is exploring. It's not yet like, you know, a sadhaka or bhakta so-and-so entering into family life, or bhaktin so-and-so entering into family life and learning by sadhana how to direct attention to the Supreme and thereby entering into household life with the purpose of connecting with the Supreme through that means rather than artificially giving up objects. And so just within the language, this mukta sanghanam, na means not, and nunam means like, emphatically, mukta sanghanam, those who are engaged in devotional service, that's what they're like. Certainly not involved with material attachment. So how is it possible, griheshu abhinivesha? Griheshu, we know, griha, family life. Abhinivesha, what's in abhinivesha means? Excessive attachment, undue attachment. So now, What's undue attachment? What's attachment and undue attachment? Well, it's natural. It's completely natural that mother and father have affection for their children. If you don't have that capacity, then don't have children. Because the children require that affection from mother and father. And mothers and fathers require the exhibition of that affection for their children. Now what's undue attachment? Abhinivesha. Excessive. Excessive to the point where you forget, guess who?
Krishna.
It covers. Maya has a potency just as bhakti has a potency. Maya's potency is to cover. Well, she has two, throw and cover. And we invite the throwing and covering potency when attachment becomes excessive. But bhakti has the power to cut through attachment, undue attachment, and then whatever that mysterious thing is, of appropriate attachment. And, you know, that's a fine line between appropriate attachment and inappropriate attachment, or abhinivesha, undue attachment. And that fine line is bhakti. And it's the fine line of engaging things in Krishna's service versus being engaged by the material energy, as you're calling it, devotional service. Remember, one of the first things that happened as a new devotee, there was a very nice devotee named Krunamoya, Prabhupada disciple. And it was in the Boston Temple, and he wanted to go to University of Massachusetts in Amherst and start a college preaching center. You know, that was something that Prabhupada wanted, and he wanted to assist Prabhupada. And there was this concern, and I was thinking, he's going without association. He could easily get assimilated in the material energy with the initial intention of giving Krishna consciousness. Instead of giving Krishna consciousness, taking on the association of the material energy and getting lost. And that's what happened. Bye-bye, Krunamoya. That means his bhakti became covered by the material energy, by forgetfulness of Krishna. You know, the mission of giving Krishna got covered. It's like one can enter into household life with the intention of this will be a facility for me to serve Krishna. But, you know, the risk, of course, there's risk if you don't, and there's risk if you do, that we mentioned yesterday. It's a risky place. Watch out, this material world. So one of the preliminary cautions, just to say it in a nutshell, is grihastha ashram is not a license for enjoyment. It's like, you know, I'd like to drive a car, but before I get to drive a car, I have to get a driver's license. Before I get a driver's license, I may have to take like a class in driving. You taken driver's ed yet?
No.
You're going to. So you can drive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you take driver's ed, you get a driver's license. Now you have a license to drive. It doesn't mean now I have a license to drive. Look out, here I come. There's all kinds of cautions if one is a thoughtful individual when you have a license to drive a car. So a license to get married doesn't mean now it's a license for sense enjoyment. It's lawful sense enjoyment. There's the unlawful kind, and now I'm in household life, it's lawful. That's awful. Not lawful. It's rather, there's a transcendental purpose with engaging anything. Engaging a computer. You can fall into Maya with a computer. Real easy. I know some people that are really good at it. Without detail. So, anything that you use in Krishna's service, make sure it doesn't use you in Maya's service. And so, is it possible to... Here's the question, and the person is Priyavrata, is it possible to be not just a sadhaka, but a perfected devotee, and be engaged in household life where it appears, at least externally, you're overly attached, abhinivesha, and still maintain, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and still maintain Krishna consciousness. Pure devotion and a life of sense gratification don't mix. Prabhupada explains it like starting a fire and pouring water on the fire. They're incompatible. That's not how you start a fire. So if I want to become free from material entanglement, I get married, because there's the senses and there's the sense objects in Haribol. They meet. And now it's an invitation for being the enjoyer of the objects of the senses. 1, 2, 3. Push one domino, and there goes the other domino, and there goes the other domino. And then, so bhakti gets covered. Like Karunamoya, with good intention, got covered. And others, with good intention. So I want to do three things. Abhinivesha is in this verse, griheshu abhinivesho yam, excessive attachment to family life, is not possible for devotees, the devotees that are fixed in their devotion, fixed in their devotion, not possible. So reference to another place where this is said, two other places, of course, Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Amam Abhijanati, only by devotional service can I be understood. And then there's reference to Krishna speaking to Uddhava. It's Krishna speaking to Arjuna, then Krishna speaking to Uddhava. 11:14:21. I'm going to go to that verse. Bhaktyaham ekaya grahaha. So let's go to that verse. Shratayatma priya satam bhakti pranati man nishta. Very important phrase. Prabhupada refers to it, the purport refers to that this man nishta. We know what nishta means. What does nishta mean? Nishta. It's one of the stages of bhakti. Steadiness. Steadiness in bhakti. That's after unsteadiness in bhakti. Steadiness in bhakti. Steadiness in bhakti, it's summarized in Canto 1, Chapter 2, where nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. Abhadra, the things that are inauspicious. Abhadra. Bhadra and abhadra. Auspicious and inauspicious. All that is inauspicious within the heart is practically destroyed to nil. That's nishta. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. So, man nishta is, in the word for word, fixing me as the only goal. Not license sense gratification, but me as the only goal. So I take up this or that or the other thing. I get a computer, I get a driver's license, I get married for one purpose, and whatever else. For one purpose. Manishta. For satisfying Krishna. And I keep that in the front. It doesn't disappear because I get overwhelmed by, now I have the freedom to, I'm a teenager, I can drive around and I've got freedom. Yay. Forget Krishna. Or now I've got my computer and, you know, I've got some leisure time. And I know people that have lost their jobs because they just, you know, on the job, they're sitting there not doing their job. They're just, you know, whatever they do. And they're underperforming, and so they lose their job. They know why, but they couldn't resist. Anyway, etc. There's a lot of other negative things out there. And marriage. Being in lawful religious marriage between, you know, these days, and who knows. But only by practicing unalloyed devotional service with full faith in me, that's Shraddhayatma, full faith in me, can one obtain me, the personality of Godhead. I am naturally dear to my devotees. This is really nice. This is mamata, where the devotees hold Krishna dear. That's how you stay fixed in Krishna consciousness. Krishna is dear to you. You don't forget Krishna because you're in a situation where there's a temptation for sense gratification. Why? Because Krishna is dear to you. And when Krishna is dear to you, you're dear to Krishna. That's the reciprocation from Krishna's side. One who holds Krishna dear to them, Krishna holds that person dear to him. So it's not just your strength that protects you, it's Krishna protects you. But Krishna protects you because you want the protection because of holding Krishna dear to you. So this question of what's the goal of life, it's not a small question. Introspection and asking yourself, what's really important? You know, we have lots of answers to that question that are largely scripted by other people. And scripted by, you know, our past impressions in this life and previous lives. And we got all these things that, you know, just keep going down and down and down. And ultimately, it's this one. So to stay in touch with this one, there's challenges because it's easy to get distracted. Lots of opportunity to get distracted. Lots of conditioning. And samskaras and previous impressions and so forth and so on. They're like pushing and pulling it, are grabbing our attention. Starting with when you chant the holy name. Put your hand in your bead bag, start chanting and watch the fireworks. So there must be this, you know, at least aspiration, hankering, striving, sadhana-wise, to come to that position. And when one comes to that position, mamata, the devotee holds Krishna dear. And that's how you get to know Krishna. Who take me as the only goal of their loving service. By engaging in such devotional service, even the dog-eaters can purify themselves from the contamination of their low birth. So it's not a birth issue. Birth is by previous activity. Guna and karma, you get a low birth. Guna and karma, you get a good birth. It's not about previous karma or previous guna. Bhakti is more powerful. And there's a requirement. Krishna is the purpose of bhakti. Then there's this opposing force that has so many soldiers and infantry and military called ignorance. I'll just go over here for a minute to Bhaktivinoda Thakur saying he uses this, I mentioned this the other day, I think, tattva vibrahma. I'm going to go into Jiva Goswami for a minute. please pardon me. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Tattva Vibrahma. Vibrahma means mistake. Vibrahma means like a big mistake. And Tattva Vibrahma is not having proper understanding of reality. Like the discussion yesterday, you know, evening, reality with a capital R, or truth with a capital T. In this world, what's spiritual? Well, most important is the holy name. Of course, Krishna's in her heart. The soul is also in the heart, and the process of devotional service connects us with Krishna, but the primary means of making that connection with Krishna through devotional service is the holy name. And study the offenses against the holy name, one by one by one, and here's what you come up with. It's that which is spiritual, you don't see as spiritual. Tattva Vibrahma. That's behind it all. So how do I get to, you know, to seeing what is spiritual and spiritual? It starts with the holy name. And so there's offenses against the holy name, 10 in number. And there's protection. The potency of our connecting with Krishna is through his holy name. That potency is accessed when there's the proper regard for the holy name and proper taking up the holy name. Even our conditioned tendency is otherwise. You know, starting with illusion. Tattva Vibrahma. And then from that Tattva Vibrahma, there's a whole series of darker and darker and darker, further away from Krishna. Even engaging in devotional service, it can get darker and darker, retrograde, if one isn't careful. So we should be careful. We should know what are the steps of darkness and cut it off at the pass. Now this word, abhinivesha, that's in this verse. There's two other references, and I'm done. There's another very nice verse, often quoted verse, in Canto 11, Chapter 3, which I'm going to read. 11:237. Those of you that have your device and you want to look. It's a discussion between the Navayogendras and Maharaj Nimi, 11:237. And you maybe will recognize, I'll just say the Sanskrit because I've heard it zillions of times. Bhayam dvitiya vinivesha taksyat ishad apetasya viparyayo smritihi tan maya yato buddha abhajetam bhaktyaika yesham gurudeva tatma. Do you recognize the first line? Bhayam dvitiya vinivesha taksyat. Bhayam means fear. So the translation reads, fear arises. It's a good verse to remember when somebody asks you or you have a conversation with somebody about fear. I have this fear of fill in the blank. Really good verse, 11:237. Fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as the material body because of absorption. That's abhinivesita. Because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his own constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. That's like entering into family life and you think it's the license for enjoyment program and you forget Krishna, identifying with the body and enjoying the situation, the senses and the happiness of da-da-da-da-da. This bewildering, fearful condition is effected by the potency of illusion called Maya. Therefore, an intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in unalloyed devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master whom he should accept as his worshipable deity and his very life and soul. To say the Sanskritic first line, Vayam Dvitiya Vinivesha Taksyat. Dvitiya, word for word, is in something seen to be other than the Lord. You know, one of the Chatur Sloki verses of the Bhagavatam is, if you see something, anything, that exists on its own, independent of the Supreme Lord, know that as my illusory potency, Maya. It's one of the core verses of the entire Bhagavatam. So, Bhayam Dutriya Abhinivesheta Syat. You become absorbed, excessively absorbed in something that is seen as existing separate from the Supreme Lord. Whew. Bhayam. So what's the antidote for fear? It's changing that, your attachment. Well, it's hard when you're attached to illusion to let go of it. And, you know, the core illusion is I want to enjoy separately from Krishna. So you bring yourself near sense objects, whether it's a driver's license or it's a computer or it's marriage or whatever it is, you bring the senses in contact with the sense objects, and there's this expectation of I'm going to enjoy. You know, different persons have different idea of how they're going to enjoy. I haven't seen the reports, but there's devotees that have said, there's reports of people that die in front of a computer because they get so absorbed in what's going on. They forget to eat and they forget to, you know. What's the computer? It's just a machine. You know, like the mind is just a machine. But we get so absorbed in the mind. What's the machine without the operator of the machine? But we get so caught up in our computer or our mind that we forget ourselves. You know, in the mission of life, we get caught up in affairs of household life or whatever it is, and just, you know, get turned upside down. And what's the antidote? Well, the antidote is the holy name. And the holy name chanted without offense. However, the tendency to make offense, according to Jiva Goswami, is there from previous lifetimes. We don't take birth because we got a clean record. We take birth because we got a dirty record. Whether it's a high birth or a low birth, take birth. In whatever species, human species, okay, very special. But there's impressions of sin and offense. Jiva Goswami is very, very clear about it with some detail that we'll do another time. But this abhinivesha appears in Jiva Goswami's explanation of one of the functional descriptions or definitions of offense, that is, in terms of what happens in the heart of a devotee. And abhinivesita appears in one of those. And Bhagavan Nishta Chavaka to abhinivesita, Antar abhinivesita. What does that mean? Bhagavan Nishta, so faith in Bhagavan, right? Nishta. Nishta means firm faith. Firm faith in those things that are going to help me advance in my relationship with Bhagavan. Bhagavan Nishta Tyavaka, destroyed, obliterated, at least backseat, temporarily put the pause button on striving to become interested in serving Bhagavan. Instead, antar abhinivesh, one actually becomes attached to those things that are averse to bhakti. You know, and there's degrees of that. It can be even knowingly, where one can go on repeatedly and repeatedly. This is the nature of offensive mentality. I can do something over and over again, and I know that it's detrimental, and I can't let go of it. Undue attachment, abhinivesh. Antar abhinivesh. Bhagavan nishtha chyavaka. Although, antar abhinivesh. That's the consequence of taking up devotional service in this way or that way or the other way. And it starts with Tattva Vibram. I don't give proper acknowledgement to the bhakta and the bhakti process and Bhagavan. Those things that are spiritual. I'm more interested in, you know, being happy. And, you know, happiness, subtext is happiness and sense gratification. So I take up things in devotional service, subtext, with enjoying sense gratification, and I call it devotional service, and I just keep doing it. You know, the tenth offense in our list of 10 offenses is maintaining attachments, material attachments. Even after hearing so many instructions in this manner, we still do it. We maintain them, means we invest energy in them. You have to maintain something, you have to invest energy in it. Maintain the temple, or maintain your dental hygiene, or, you know, you have to brush your teeth regularly. You maintain attachments. You invest energy in those attachments, and that, you know, the root is, I want to enjoy, independently of Krishna. So that blocks Krishna. So I don't see Krishna properly, and I call it devotional service. And it, so it's just, then it gets darker and darker. And then, you know, so the abhinivesh becomes undue attachment to the temporary. When I get started out with a good intention, I want to take this up as a way of advancing in Krishna consciousness, and it's appropriate, it's natural. Whatever it is, you know, just go to school and get an education, get a career from that education and get some income, and just, you know, it's just, the message isn't throw it away. Don't get education. Don't get a career. Don't live a responsible life. That's not the message. But do it in Krishna consciousness. So that's the topic of this question in this canto. How to take up devotional service when we don't lose it. We don't lose our Krishna consciousness in the name of trying to become Krishna conscious. We discussed it yesterday, same. Brahma, just to end with this. Brahma, after all those fabulous Brahma Samhita prayers, has a doubt. I have this wonderful realization of Krishna, now I have to create a universe. I'm going to get entangled. It's just natural. One, two, three. We did it. Push one domino, it knocks over the other domino, knocks over the other domino. I'm going to get entangled. Krishna, you want me to do this creating of the universe program, and Krishna, I'm attached to you, but if I do this other thing, maybe I'll forget you. And if I don't do the creation, that's what you want me to do, then that's not good either. I have a duty to perform according to the nature that you have given to me. What to do? So those final verses of Brahma Samhita are a shorter version of what this whole chapter is about addressing that question. This is in the form of a history. So Priyavrata, like Lord Brahma, he's already there. He's not a sadhaka. We're not there. We're sadhakas. So how are we as sadhakas to understand? Understand by the great souls. Yajaracharati Shrestas. Take up the activities that we take up, whatever they may be. In this case, it's family life. But whatever they may be, take up our activities in such a way that we're very, very clear what tattva is. Tattva vijnana. And the verses say that tattva vijnana becomes understood through bhakti. So it's a cultivation. We're not going to understand Krishna right away. We're not going to understand the transcendental nature of bhakti and the power of bhakti right away, because there's coverings. But with faith, following Rupa Goswami's teaching and our guides and teachers and spiritual masters and so forth, cultivate bhakti in that way. Be very vigilant when you're driving your car or using your computer or in marriage, that you're very vigilant. What are the indications given how to use this valuable thing that can assist one, if used properly, in serving Krishna? And if it's not in service to Krishna, you step back. Engage in that which is going to assist you in remembering Krishna and not forgetting Krishna. That's the protection. Bhakti gives protection. And ultimately, Krishna. Protection from Maya and introduction to Krishna. Then you can know Krishna through the medium of any of those things. Engaging in devotional service, engaging objects of the senses in service to the master of the senses. In practical activity. Nice topic. Any discussion? Yes?
I have a question. Hmm. So, in the scriptures we see most of, all the sages, all the great elevated Mahatmas, so, people, they are always in the second order of in the Rakasala, meaning that we know that we are not in the second order of love because
when
of
you say second order, that means?
I mean, grihastha life. It's not because of their sense enjoyment or wanting to attach to the family members. But we see most of the, sages are addressed to the king and gurus and all that. So, and also we, even like acharyas, Ramanujacharya and Mahaprabhu, they also played a role part in their life, like some part of the grihastha life. So, what is it? They all came for the mission, but still they took the part of art with the role of the Rasta in their life. So how can
I
understand that?
Okay. Two things. I don't know if your statistics are accurate. And second thing is, if they're doing like that, then they're showing by example. That's why they're doing like that. For those that do like that. We need examples. There's the principle, then there's the example. Oh, that's what it is. Show by example. Adishakti, you have something? Someone? Oh, I saw a hand over there. Okay, behind you.
Maharaj, the sentence in the Prabhupada that Bodhatta is impossible to be attached. So we've been hearing your classes on Maharaj. He was on the opposite. He was beyond the south end of the faith. And yet there's always the free will, so he chose to consciously neglect his spiritual practices if they were taking care of the deer. So how do I understand this protection? Is it looking at the long term? He did fall in that life.
I got it. I discovered the answer 2 days ago from Jiva Goswami. He explains offense in a previous life. Because of an offense in his previous life, he even goes so far as to say the manifestation of the baby deer was prarabdha karma. But then he says, but it's not possible for prarabdha karma to overwhelm bhakti. Bhakti overwhelms prarabdha karma. Therefore, deductively, Jiva Goswami says, in his previous life there was an offense. That offense from his previous life prompted him to make this choice. The choice was not just take care of the deer. He could have, that's not wrong, take care of the deer. But neglect his devotional practice, that was wrong. But that happens in, as the consequence of offense in a previous life. So what to speak of us? You know, just day by day, what to speak of a previous life. And it's no small thing. It's not like a scare tactic. It's from the spiritual perspective, there's power in offense. And the power of offense is to block the power of bhakti. Which may sound like a contradiction because light is stronger than darkness, right? But that's part of Krishna's arrangement that when there's offense, it's very powerful. It acts very powerfully on us, and therefore we should be very careful. And then we have to deal with the offense. Now, in Bharat Maharaj's case, he was given a special dispensation. And a deer in his next body with full remembrance of his life as Bharat Maharaj. And then the remembrance in his life after the deer, he went right, you know, to a Brahmin's son, his next birth, and didn't forget. So Super Soul was there giving him this remembrance, but he had to deal with this offense. Now, it's possible, and just take it one step further, it's possible when the deer was there, and that, you know, the choice of giving up bhakti in favor of taking care of the deer, he could have chosen no. But the offense triggered that previous inclination. So what are we to do? You know, look back that way. How many offenses are there? You know, even unknowing what to speak of the other ones. Knowing. Therefore, you know, there's multiple therefores. One of the therefores is there's repetition necessary in executing bhakti and consciously realigning our intention when we're doing a repetitious bhakti, like chanting. You know, I often speak about this sankalpa term in terms of our chanting. We should align ourselves to what we want. We want our relationship with Krishna. And then there's this other stuff that's behind. So stay fixed in that. It's in the verse that Krishna is speaking to Uddhava in the 11th canto. And it's, you know, and in so many other places. Just have to keep realigning and, you know, like refining and just like staying with it. Not just the activity, but the consciousness or the purpose behind the activity. We won't get the result if we're not clear about what the purpose is. We won't even continue it if we're not clear what the purpose is. Because we'll lose the sense of purpose and we'll go, you know, get drifted away by circumstance. So that, you know, it comes down to that little light that's inside, little flame that says, you know, I want to be with Krishna. I really want to be with Krishna. and there's so many other things going on, but that's the one thing that's the most important. I really want to be in my relationship with Krishna. And stay with it. And then that has the power to overcome the offenses through constant practice. And then, you know, and be wary of committing further offenses in those 10 in number items. And it goes on. There's some that are more damaging than other ones. So we give greater weight to those that are more damaging. You don't become negligent in the other ones, but so there's the means, and the power is within bhakti, properly performed. But there's the answer to the Bharatmara's question.
Can I ask a follow-up?
Yeah.
So when the devotees initiate the Gaya Mantra, so which you master, you understand that all the past is wiped clean.
That's the sins. Doesn't mean offenses and the reaction to offenses. Karma. It's in a different category. every day for the past month, I've been adding something and adding something and adding something to this topic, making a presentation on this topic. Every day, it's like for me, it's a meditation on, you know, improving my bhakti and helping others understand how to improve theirs. But you know, this particular thing that you just mentioned is one of the things that Jiva Goswami says. It's not just take initiation and, you know, smooth sailing. There's a conscious effort that the person who's initiated must undergo. Because following this Bhagavan Nishta Chavaka to Antar Abhinivesh comes the next one, the sequential one, the next domino that gets knocked over is slackening in bhakti. Slackening in bhakti can mean, you know, the externally, you know, you see your bee bag, you don't even want to pick up your bee bag. But, you know, it then it's more subtle. One may become so weak. And there he goes. He got attached to some object. Okay. Life goes on. It comes to a point where, you know, get darker and darker. When you can't, you may even want to do something and you can't do something. And then you lose the desire to even want to do something. You know, darker and darker. Depending of, you know, how complacent one becomes with this, you know, this higher, let me take up devotional service to be in my relationship with Krishna. If that gets neglected and you just do bhakti mechanically, it gets darker and darker. Inattentive when chanting the holy name, and, you know, etc. Hey, he's happy again. Until he's unhappy again. Okay. Somebody else?
It's like a general question. So in school we had a discussion about like equal rights.
Equal rights.
Yeah, and so the topic of like gay marriage came up. So they were talking about like Christians have like a very strong opposition. So I was asked like, in your culture, what do you believe? And I didn't know how to answer that because we don't talk about that.
It can become a long discussion or a short discussion. our communications department, you know who Anuttama is?
I've heard of him.
He's the Minister of Communications Global. We've been kind of on his case for about 4 years to make a communications statement about this question. He's reluctant. Because you say this, you say that, and just opening yourself up for getting tomatoes thrown at you. So a statement was prepared, but it wasn't released for that reason. In short, it's on the one hand, but on the other hand. On the one hand, all living entities are respected. All species of life are respected. That there's a soul within. That our position is there's a soul within, and respect goes to the soul that's within, regardless of what the covering may be. And second, it's recognized that some are wired this way and some are wired that way. So respect the soul that's within, and some are wired this way and some are wired that way. We don't have a judgment about how people are wired, or species of life are wired. It's not the language that he used, but then comes a statement that Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita, which is there's a God-given purpose for the act of sex, and that's to invite a soul to come and take shelter, and then when the body is developed for that soul, to assist by parenting, to train the soul within that body to go back to Krishna. That's the God-given purpose. And other than that, Krishna says, and so we say, it's irreligious. That's our position. So we don't perform gay marriages because, what's behind that is not just let's be friends, it's something else. And that something else isn't something that Krishna condones, and so we don't condone it. Somebody wants to go off and do that because it's lawful according to the state law, they can go off and do that according to state law. This is where this is the line that we're not unclear about. The act of sex is only for one purpose. That's our position. It's the God-given purpose. And something other than that is not God's given purpose. So we don't do that. We don't condone that. We don't endorse it or legalize it or perform the ritual of sacred marriage so people can do something that built into it is something that Krishna is, it's irreligious. It's not an act of devotion to Krishna. So we don't condone it. How you say that from a communications minister's perspective is a little tricky. It would be helpful if he actually... I think I have a draft, and if you send me a little note, I'll send you the draft that he's reluctant to circulate. Because he doesn't want tomatoes thrown at him. Yes?
Krishna is very dear to me in that sense, is it only for very pure devotees, or how do we feel that?
Well, there's degrees, isn't it? Krishna is dear to me. There's degrees of that. Even in the spiritual world, there's degrees of that. What to speak of here? So it's not only for pure devotees. There's degrees of that. You have something? Yeah.
I've been reading Sena Goswami, Bhaskaran Thakur's life. Very inspired. One of the things that I noted is that he took up a lot of responsibility and take care of his family. He had to do a lot of service. And then towards the end, as he was turned 50, 55, 60, he started to have an aversion, not an aversion, it wasn't phrased that way, but it seemed like you really wanted to get out of government service. You kept wanting to put an end to that. He left and then they really begged him, please come back, came back to the
government. Yeah.
Could you comment on that internal desire to, you know, put all that on pause, or not pause, but, you know, get away from it, the complexity that he had to do?
Yeah, that I, a couple of comments. One is, it's natural, even for worldly people, to speak of spiritual people. At a certain point, yeah, I've had enough. It's natural. And for a spiritual person, it's also prescribed. And then, on the other hand, so another point is, you know, different spiritualists are different. Meaning, Bhaktivinoda Thakura was heading not just, you know, away from government service, but, you know, more and more and more towards Nirjan Bhajan, solitary devotional practice. And he did that for some time. And in contrast, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura did that when he was younger. That, you know, 3 billion names of Krishna program that he did in some 7-8 years. And then he took sannyas and he was involved in, you know, setting up centers and taking care of lives of people and spreading the mission and printing literature and, you know, involving himself in detachment with the material energy. And, you know, Prabhupada. You know, to organize what he did, you know, the Hare Krishna movement. I mean, his brain was occupied to the max with details and details, but it was an act of sacrifice. It wasn't Nirjan Bhajan. So different. The spirit moves differently in the hearts of different individuals and manifests itself differently.
A follow-up question. So, as sadhaka is dealing with material energy, because there is sufficient purity, there's a desire to stay away from certain aspects of certain material energy, especially if it's a stain of, you know, suffering in the mind and so forth.
Yeah.
Is it correct to say that if the, you know, that aspect of Krishna is dear to me, that commitment to Krishna, if that aspect is stronger, then it eclipses the aversion portion, and one can remain in.
Sure.
Commitment is key. Just commitment to that relationship is key.
All the while, such a person, taking Prabhupada's life as an example, or just without his life, just in principle, hankering for simplicity is a mode of goodness quality. So a person that may take on complexity doesn't become attached to the complexity. I mean, if they're attached to Krishna, they're still hankering for simplicity. Even while they're taking on complexity. And that's natural. Yes?
May I ask a follow-up?
This is the last question.
Okay. It's a follow-up to the question about gay relationships.
Oh, okay.
I was asked by a very religious Christian, Catholic, whether we as a community would be welcoming of a gay couple who follow the same principle of no illicit sex as the Grihastha does. And my response was yes.
Yes. Yes. It happens. It's happening. Yes. Without details. She wants the last question.
in the context of fear.
In the context of fear.
The fear what we discussed in that time is we can't show government. So since Shrini is going to get the permit of driver's license.
Her eyes were going to her daughter even before she spoke.
So, as a mother, I always have a fear and a worry is like, you know, oh, she's going to go and she's not even having patience. So that fear is, I mean, I'm happy at one.
And you have patience, right? Touché.
I'm a little worried and I'm feeling in one hand I'm so happy that she's going to learn.
Good. On the other hand, there's fear. Encourage her to chant her japa properly. That's what you should do. And you chant yours properly too.
That's what I do when she drives.
Why did you say that? That's in the car ride back home. With that, we'll end. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.